Okay, so we are up to Siman Kuf Samachas Sif Beis. Continuing our discussion regarding Shalem. So the question comes up, how do you define Shalem for Inyan of Brachos? And specifically, do we look at other places in Halacha and equate them with respect to the definition of Shalem? So the Mishnah says in Erevin, on Daf Pei Amud Beis, that according to Rabbi Yeshua, we are ma'ariv eruvei chateros dafka with a kikar shalem, a whole loaf of bread or matzah, and not broken ones. And that's the way we paskin, if you look in Siman Shin Samach Vav, Sif Vav. And the Gemara asks the Shaila, what about being mechaber two pieces of a bread with like a toothpick? That's on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, Amr of Chista, Tafra Bekisim, if you sewed them together, the two parts of the loaf, with a toothpick of some of sorts, Marvin Lo Ba, that you could use it, Vatani Marvin Lo Ba, Lo Kasha, Hadia Dia Tifra, Hadlo Dia Tifra. So it depends. If it looks like a single loaf, so then it's a valid loaf for an Erev. So the Rokeach, Siman Shin Chaf Tes, quoted in the Beis Yosef, says that just like we say it's a din shalem when it's sewn together in terms of dine erevin, so too it's shalem with respect to lech mishnah. So if a person has cut off a piece of bread from their loaf and they wish to reattach it with a kisem and it looks like a single loaf, so then that is considered shalem with respect to lech mishnah. Now the Beis Yosef in our siman takes that one step further, and he writes, "Hu adin le'inyan shalem livracha," and that's paskened in the Shulchan Aruch over here. Im yesh lo le'adam shnei chatzei lechem ve'in lo lechem shalem yechabrim yachad be'etz o b'shem davar shelo yehein nir'eh Vedino Kedin Shalem. So the answer is that you can use it as well here as a din of Shalem. So the Magen Avraham says that we're not knowing to do this. And moreover, he thinks that there's no raya from the Rokeach. Maybe the Rokeach is said by Hilcha Shabbos that there's a real need for Lecha Mishnah. It would seem to me that perhaps they're debating the degree to which you have to be Mehader Achar Lechem Mishnah, Achar Shalem. And the Beis Yosef thinks, yeah, to the extent that you're able to get a Shalem, you must try to get a Shalem. So if you have two halves, you should make them whole, just like by Lechem Mishnah, where there's a Chiyuv, to the extent that you're able to use Shleimim for Lechem Mishnah. The Magen Avraham says, maybe not. The din of shalem. If you have a shalem, you should make a bracha on a shalem. You don't have a shalem, who says that you have to turn it into a shalem? Yes.
I think I have a radical read of the Rambam. Justin, we have like kind of two opinions right now, whether how much like do you need to make a shalem. So the Rambam, the way he presents it is he just says mitzvah min hamofar to take the shalem. So it sounds like he doesn't bring it up as he has petitin and shalem. He just says mitzvah min hamofar to get shalem. It sounds like it's best mitzvah min hamofar to go to the refrigerator and get a shalem.
Okay, I hear. I hear what you're saying. So that's the machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Beis Yosef. And Aaron's claiming the Rambam also has a view on that. So now,
more extreme, you have to go to the refrigerator.
No, I would say it's less extreme because you don't have there, at least you have it. The Beis Yosef says you have to create it. You don't have it, you don't even have a shalem in a fridge. Still, you have to create the shalem by sewing it together. So now, Agav, there's an additional chiddush over here, which is that Mehecha Tesi that you could learn from Eruvin to either of these dinim, whether it's Lecha Mishnah or Brachos. Why? Because what's the reason for the din in Eruvin? Why does it have to be Shalem? Because the Gemara says we're choshish for Eva, might lead to an amachlokas. Why? Each person is going to say when they come to get their portion of the Eruv. We don't ever really divide up an Eruv. But Aaron, I know you'll appreciate this because you're in the midst of Eruvin. So in theory, you've completed Eruvin. I'm sorry. So in theory, what should happen and what could happen is each member of the Chatzer will come and say, you know, I'd like my portion of bread that I contributed. So if it's broken up or some are broken up, it's going to lead to fighting. We want to prevent fighting. So every single loaf should be whole. So that's a din in Eva. So I would think that Mechatesi, to learn to either Brachos or Lecha Mishnah, where there's a din of Shalem. So l'chor, what we have to say is that even though it's true that the reason for the din of Erevin is because of Eva, but they are misakein alt Eva that it is a din Shalem. So Memela, the Rokeach, says, so I'm able to learn from there to here because the motivation might have been Eva, but Lemaisa, the din, is that when you have two halves that are sewn together by a toothpick, it has a din Shalem. That's l'chora what the Rokeach is assuming. And I saw Rav Moshe says a similar thing in Yoredei Chelo Gimelson and Kuf Chaf Vav. That which we say it works for Rav Chista, it's not because the neighbors will actually consider it Shalem and there isn't Eva. You know, maybe they'd be pretty upset. But rather they were misaken it as a din shalem. As long as it has halachically a din shalem, then it's valid for Erev. And therefore, if we say halachically it is a din shalem for Erev, then hu adin, it should have a din shalem for Lecha Mishnah or a din shalem for Bracha. And the reason is because for dinim d'rabbanan, at the very least, we say that when a person is mechaber, it's considered a chibur. That's what the Achronim say over there in Eruvin. Now, Rav Moshe actually used that to explain why the Rif and the Rambam are mashmit that din, but we won't go in there now. Now, Yesh La'ayin Agav, if this halacha of being mechaber things through a toothpick or the like, showing them back up, is that applied to other tchumen and halacha? So I'll just mention one very famous debate that, since it comes up, relating to this, is by Arba Minim. Let's imagine that the piece of my esrog falls off, an ukitz falls off. So now my ukitz fell off. So I have a great solution. I'll take a pin and stick it in. Is that considered shalim? So the Tshuva's Beis Yamkif, Simen Kuf Mem Beis, writes that just like we say it works for Eruvin, and Lecha Mishnah and Brachos, it should work for an Esrog also. And it's considered Lekicha Taman, you can make a Bracha. But the Tshuva Shvus Yankif, Chelak Aleph Simen Lamed Hei, disagrees. And he says that no, by Erevin it will work. Because there we need Shalem, Medin Eva. So that one person can't say, I gave a Shalem and you gave a Pusa. So there we say it works. But Esrog, we need Lekicha Tama, so it wouldn't work. Now, from the fact, we've already said, the fact that we extrapolate that din to Lecha Mishnah and Hilchos Brachos shows that it's not just Alt Eva, it sounds like it is a din Shalem. So maybe the fact that we extend to Brachos and Lecha Mishnah is a raya for the Shvos Yaakov. Now, you could say, maybe we'll be docha, there's a difference between D'Oraisa and D'Rabbanan. So you can't learn, you can't extrapolate. Right, from D'Oraisa to D'Rabbanan to D'Oraisa. That's one possible D'Chiya. Another possible D'Chiya is that really a Kisem doesn't make it as though it's Mamish one. In other words, in Mitzias, it's two. And that's why for Esrog, it will be invalid because you need Lekicha Tama. And the point is that for these halachos, it's sufficient. Let me give you a mashal. We know we're going to see, there's another halacha in Hilchos Erevin that if the bread is missing just a small amount, how much? Less than 1/48, which is the shear of challah. If it's missing less than 1/48, it's still considered shalim. It doesn't have to be perfectly shalim. Now for esrog, that would certainly be possible. Why? Because you need l'kichatama. This isn't considered l'kichatama. So clearly, you can't learn from Erevin to Dalad Minim. Dalad Minim, there's a discussion. Sometimes a little hole in the esrog is okay. It depends if it's mefulash, machlokas, rishonim, achronim. But everybody would agree, I believe, we certainly paskin, that if a piece of the esrog is missing, even if it's less than 1/48, 2% of the esrog is missing, it would be possible for Erev, it's kosher. So what do you see from there? You see from there that you can't necessarily extrapolate. Now, that din, by the way, that if it's missing 1/48, it's still kosher for Erev, is in Simen Shin Samech Vav, Sif Vav. And therefore, some Achronim say, well, if we're learning out from Hilchos Erevin, then for this din of the Chibor Al Yedei Kisem, so we should also learn out that din from Hilchos Erevin, that it's missing less than 1/48. It's kosher, right? And this comes out a lot in Lecha Mishnah. Let's say for Lecha Mishnah, so a piece of your matzah is missing, right? The corner of the matzah is missing. It's not uncommon. Or even in challah, especially if you have like a crispy challah. So when you, before you even have a chance to eat it, or the like, it's already some pieces of the crust fall off. So is it considered shalim for Lecha Mishnah? So some achronim say, Rabbi Willig thinks we pass in this way, that it's valid, still perfectly good for Lecha Mishnah, because we learn out from Erevin that if 1/48 is missing, in other words, if we're allowed to learn out from Kisei, we should learn out from this too. But Lechora, even that's only, it's not ideal. Why? Because if you look at our Lashon in the Shulchan Aruch, it says you should only do this if you don't have a better option, right? By the Kisei. Right, if you look, what was the lashon Shulchan Aruch by Kisaim? It says Vim ein lo lechem shalem. In other words, if you have a lechem shalem, you should use a lechem shalem. But if you don't, so then you could be machaber the pieces using the Kisaim. So likewise, if you have a lechem that's perfectly shalem for Lecha Mishnah, then you should. Let's say you take the first matzah out of the box, you have to worry about boer. Aaron will tell you about that. Is it considered shnei minim or minachah?
The focus between Rabbi Yeshiv and Al-Kosh versus Shlomo Zalman.
Exactly. So, assuming the bar issue isn't an issue, so you take out the first matzah of the box, and there's 1% missing. So, if you don't have any other matzahs that are shalim, yeah, use that. But l'chora, if you have another matzah that's perfectly shalem, so then you should use that. Okay. Now, a very interesting question that comes up over here is in the Beis Yosef, a machlokas between Rabbeinu Yerucham and the Beis Yosef. What's the din if you have a whole loaf and you want to make it into crumbs before you eat it? So Rabbeinu Yerucham says that you should crumble it before the bracha. And he says that that's based off of the Gemara, Pas Tzenuma Bekara. So the Beis Yosef says, I don't know what he's talking about. That's true. It's one opinion in the Gemara, but it's the Havamin of the Gemara. It's the rejected opinion in the Gemara. We paskin like Rava. And according to Rava, so you make the bracha on the shalem, and then you're botzeya. That's true with respect to cutting. And the Gemara compares that to crumbling it up. And therefore, the Beis Yosef says that if you want to crumble up your bread, so you first make the bracha, and then you would crumble it. Now, we talked about our bagel shaila, if you remember, question of how best to prepare the bagel. And what about if you want to make the bracha when it's shalim, but you want to eat it with cream cheese, but you're concerned that if you put the cream cheese on, that will take a while. So we quoted from the Aruch HaShulchan, Simen Reish Beis, Sif Yud Aleph, that even though the halacha is that you could cut it after the bracha, that's not considered a hafzik. During the week, you should only partially cut it because you should partially cut it beforehand on Shabbos. You could fully cut it because of Lecha Mishnah. But maybe you would see from there that even general hachanos are okay. So the Beis Yosef, the Aruch HaShulchan thinks not. He's talking about a case where the, nuts. So you should open the nuts first. You should break the nuts first. Now there, it's an interesting question. We'll talk about it later, whether, the chore would still be shalim if you don't break the nut, even after you've taken off the shell. That's what I would think. I would think that but let's say, so I don't know why you would do that after the bracha, let's imagine that you know for sure that when you cracked open the nut, you're going to break the nut. So if you want it to be shalem on the bracha, you'd have to crack the nut open after the bracha. So the Aruch HaShulchan says you shouldn't do it. What about pas? There we say you should cut it after the bracha, so shouldn't it be the same thing? So says the Aruch HaShulchan, lo dami l'chitach pas, shegomer achitach achar birkas hamotzi, desham hapas she'ochel galui lefaneinu, v'gomer achitach hu kerega. So there, it just takes a second to finish cutting it. That's just an instant. To crack the nut, that's a bigger asek. So yesh la'ayin mimasha kasav ha-beis Yosef kan. I would assume that crumbling the bread is also more than kerega. I can't say I know the metzias that the Beis Yosef is talking about, what exactly this pasat tznuma bekara is and what you want to do and how long it takes. I don't know. I never did this before. But is it just kerega? I'm not sure. I think it might be more than a rega. And nevertheless, says the Beis Yosef, and this, says the Beis Yosef, that you should do it after the bracha. Why? Because we want to make the bracha on a shalim. It's a hafzik. Yeah, but it's a hafzik minyan bracha. And we said, minyan bracha is only b'diavet, not l'chatchila. Yeah, but here there's no other option because the only other option, you're going to lose your shalim. And therefore, yesh l'ayin, would he agree with the Aruch HaShulchan? I'm not sure. Now, it happens to be that, as we noted, the Beis Yosef doesn't mention that there is a mile of shalem by fruits, by nuts. So it could be you would agree with the Aruch HaShulchan because he doesn't think that anyway there's an inyan to be makbid on shalem only by pas. But the Aruch HaShulchan, who's assuming like the Magen Avraham, that the inyan applies for pas and peros. So then if you hold like the Beis Yosef, unclear. Again, is it muchrach against the Aruch HaShulchan? I'm not 100% sure. Maybe the asek of cracking a nut is a little more than breaking up, crumbling the bread. But l'maisa, I don't know if the lashon of the Aruch HaShulchan, that hachitachu kerega, would apply to crumbling the bread. Now, as we said before about the bagel, still think that the bagel probably, mostly cut it before hamotzi. Cut it as deep as you can before you make the bracha that will keep it together, whatever that is, 50%, 60%, 70%, 80%, depending on the structure of the bagel. And then you make hamotzi, then finish cutting it. You don't have to go make your whole ganze geschäft. Dip it in the tuna fish or in the cream cheese and then take a bite. And then you'll make your work of art. Fine. Now, it could be that the reason why the Beis Yosef is so into this is it's a little bit l'shitaso what he says about the paskening, like the rokeach. Now, I'm not going to say that the Magen Avraham will automatically agree with the Rabbeinu Yerucham. But to some degree, the Beis Yosef is l'shitaso, because what did we say for the Beis Yosef? The Beis Yosef says you really have to do as much as you can to get a shalim, right? The haraya, you even have to sew up your bread into a single loaf. So too, it's very important to make the bracha on the shalim, even though that means spending however long it takes to crumble your bread afterwards. In other words, the Beis Yosef is consistent in terms of both points we've discussed over here, his expansion of the Rokeach and his rejection of the Rabbeinu Yerucham in terms of his the degree to which he wants you to try to have a shalim. B'shas bracha. Okay, turning to Sif Hei. Sif Hei really tells you to what degree we want, first of all, shalim as well. Shalim is definitely another expression of the degree to which we prefer shalim. And also, the degree to which, you know, we care about kavod avracha, of which shalim is an example of, the degree to which we said before, we're mahader achar kavod avracha. How do you see it? So I think perhaps the greatest expression of the degree to which we prefer this idea of kavod abracha and shalim, among other things, is that the Aguda writes that someone who's generally speaking nizhar on pas palter, as you know, without getting into the details so much, it was probably like this time of year, when was it, 4 years ago, 5 years ago that we learned this? Adam was there. You were there 3 years ago. That's it. Okay, so 3 years ago, at this very ace, very tkufa, we learned the dinim of pasakum. And so we saw bekitzer, that we are there's an isser of pasakum, but we are meikel, generally speaking, for paspalter, for bakery bread, or machmir, generally speaking, except for maybe extreme shas adchaks, for pas akum, that's pas balabayas. But nevertheless, there's an Indian to be machmir for pas Yisrael. How big that Indian is, we'll talk about in a moment, and we dealt with at that time extensively. But there is an Indian, and therefore, the Aguda addresses the following question, which is to a large degree actually discussed in Yerushalmi. The question is, what exactly does Yerushalmi mean? What about if a person has two choices? He could choose to have pas palter, which is nikia. We know our Gemara, the halacha is, our sif teaches us that there's, all things being equal, if you have two loaves in front of you, one is pas nikia, one is pas kibor. So you should choose to make the bracha on pas nikia. But what about if the pas nikia is pas palter, pas akum, and the low quality bread, the pas kibor, that is pas Yisrael? What should you do? So, first of all, we should note that in general, the halacha is, as the Rama writes in Simen Kuf Samech Sif Aleph at the end, that all these discussions are when you want both of them. In other words, a discussion of the prusa on the shalem, or the kibor and the nikia, that's when you want to eat both. If you don't want the other one, then you're not chayev to do so. But one way or the other, so you have these two things in front of you. And you have the two things in front of you. One of them is pas Yisrael, one of them is pas nikia. What should you choose? That's sort of a funny question because, well, if I'm machmir on pas Yisrael, then I want the one that's pas Yisrael, right? But the answer is no. We're talking about here a case where I want to do whatever the Shulchan Aruch tells me is the better thing to do, right? Like Aaron said, the mitzvah min hamilchar. I want to know what's the mitzvah min hamilchar, right? I don't have an inherent preference for one over the other. I want to do what a Yerushalmim should do. So what is the Yerushalmim supposed to do here? Should he make the bracha on the Pas Yisrael, even though it's low quality bread, or the bracha on the Pas Palter, though it's high quality bread? Fine, so that's what we're talking about. So the Oguda says, you know what you should do? You should make the bracha on the high quality bread. Unbelievable. Even though you're someone, even though the other one is halachically preferable. But this is halachically preferable in a different sense, because it's mitzvah min ha-mufchar to make a bracha on something that's beautiful and nice. The Mordechai, though, disagrees with the Aguda. He says, no, if you're makbid on Pas Yisrael, so make the bracha on Pas Yisrael. Now, the Rav Yah adds an interesting kinach. And the Rav Yah writes that if you have guests who are not makpid, so then, even though usually he accepts the Mordechai, that if you're makpid, you should make the bracha on the Pas Yisrael, but if you have guests that aren't makpid, then you should make the bracha on the Pas Nakia. And since you're eating the Pas Nakia for the bracha, you could eat it for the whole meal. And then he gives a very interesting analogy to that. He says, Mitoch shehutar letzarato hutar lekiruyav. What does that mean exactly? It means that when a mitzora, even though he's tameh, he's allowed to put his thumbs into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azara, for the purposes of becoming Tahor, for the Hazaya. And then we say that, what if he's also a Balkari? So maybe it should be Aser, because now he has a second level of Tumah, and that level of Tumah would not be allowed normally. And then we say, no, mitoch shehutar letzarato hutar lekiruyav. So too, since it's mutter to eat this bread for the bracha, then you could eat it the rest of the meal. That's what the Rav Yah says. And this is all quoted in the Beis Yosef, both here and also in Yoredeya Simen Kuf Yud Beis. It says over there, Kasav HaMordechai B'Shem HaRav Yah, Shemhesiv Al HaShulchan Etel Yisrael HaOchal Pas Gayim, Uval HaBayiz Nizar MiPas Shel Gayim, Kevan Shemitzvah Zumutala Salav. Since there's a mitzvah upon him to make the bracha, he's the Baal Bayis, and he wants to be machnis orech and give his guest the nicest stuff. So yivtza min ha-yafa, and he kedamer Yushalmi, we compare it to the Yushalmi that says, this is the Yushalmi that Tosfos quotes as well, gabe pas nekia temea upas kibur tahora, that you can make the bracha on the pas temea, that's nicer. And then he adds this vart of mitov shoter livtsoa mutter kol osa sudar. Now, yes, Adam.
If your guest brings goyish bread, but also it's worse bread, would you still mean is it also that the bread is better you can do it, or is it because you don't want to embarrass him that he brought you bread?
No, I think that. It's not embarrassing him. You want to give your bread, your guest, the best stuff. In other words, the Rav Yah doesn't accept the Aguda. The Aguda says, even if you have no guests, what would you do? You would still use the Pas Nakia. So Mordechai says, no, we don't accept that. But if you have a guest, then you will. Why? Because you want to, the guest gets the best, as they say in the book. So you want to give your best good stuff. And you have to be the one that's Botzeya, because the Baal HaBayis is Botzeya. So Memela, this is what you should do. So now, let's say the way you're going to be Mechabed your guest is by eating the stuff that he brought. That's a way of being Mechabed the guest also, right? Just like when the guest brings wine, you can't stand that type of wine that he brings. But you, anyway, you open it up and you drink some, it makes him feel so good. So that's part of Hachnasas Orchim, eating his wine that you don't like. So too, if he brings the bread, then the same thing. So I would think you could argue that in this case, it's not obvious, but I think you can make the case that who I did. Now, Tosfos, though, says something interesting over here. He says, Avor Rabbeinu Shimshon Tziva Lasale Kapas Lavan Shel Nachri Me'al HaShulchan Ad La'achar Birkas HaMotzi. So you should take away the high quality Gayusha bread. So what case are we talking about? Are we talking about a case of a person who's makbid? Are we talking about a case, person who isn't makbid? So this is a debate between the Shulchan Aruch and the Taz. According to the Shulchan Aruch, we're talking about a person who is makbid. And nevertheless, since it's not clear which one he should make the bracha on, even though he's makbid, because maybe the Aguda is right, basically, so memela, he should remove the pasnaki me'al shulchan, and that would sort of take away the question. And Nataz says, no, if we're talking about someone who's makbid, so since he's makbid, he looks at this as iser. So what difference does it make that one is chaviv? Mayahani le chavivuse. And that's the tine of a number of achronim. Taz among them is the Mishnah Brura quotes in Sif Katan Yud Tes. So what did the Shulchan Aruch think? Why did the Mechaber learn this way? So I think the pshat is like this. Right, again, we're trying to answer the question of all the achronim on the Shulchan Aruch. The achronim ask on the Shulchan Aruch that kevan shehu nizar umach sekzel le'iser my ahani le'chavivuse. So the answer is no. This chumrah of Pas Yisrael is not similar to other types of chumras. Let's give the example that we compare this to. The Yerushalmi, as Tosus notes, is talking about Pas Tahor versus Pas Tameh. The Rav Yaakov expands that to this case of Pas Yisrael. So what's the din? There's no iser to eat Pas Tameh, but there is a chumrah to eat Pas Tahor. And the hakpata on Pas Yisrael is a similar type of thing. It's not the pshat that someone who's machmer in Pas Yisrael holds that Pas Palter is aser. The pshat is that it's a chumrah. The Ramban, as we saw in Avodah Zarah, compared this to the nihugim of chavras, right? What a chaver does. That's why the Gemara got so angry at that Amora who was Mako when it was easy. Because it said, what do you mean? You see, he's not being noeg atzmo like a chaver. And if you're an Amora, you have to be noeg like a chaver. But the point is that it's not because we're choshesh of the iser, whether it's pas palter or pas tameh. There's an inyan to be machmir. That's the idea, as we explained then, why we're machmir during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's not just any chumrah that we adopt during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. L'mashal, let's say someone isn't makbid about yashan the whole year. They assume that that the bread al pi rov is yashan, and you're allowed to rely on a rov in this case. So they just buy any bread that has a hachshir on it, right? So is there an inyan for them to be machmer during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva? So though we saw that this was a machlokas, we learned that the pashtus says no, there's no inyan to be machmer on that. Why? Because if it's usher, then it's usher. And who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? There's no inyan to, if you think it's mutter, it's mutter. So why are you being machmer during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva? Masha'en came Pas Yisrael. Pas Yisrael is not usher. Being makbid is a chumrah. It's treating yourself like a chaver. It's like eating your chulin b'tahara. It's kedoshim. And that's the inyan. We don't feel like we're at the maila of chaverim the whole year, but at the very least, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we're going to try. So that's why Pas Yisrael is different than everything else. So that's the answer to the kasha that the achronim ask on the Beis Yosef. The answer is that you're not, even if you're machmir on Pas Yisrael, it's not because you're machzik Pas Palter is an iser. And therefore, since Be'etzem, they're both mutter, so that's why it's not clear whether or not when they're both in front of you, you should take the Pas Nakia or the Pas Yisrael. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, so in that case, you should take away the Pas Nakia. The truth is that the Trumas Hadeshen says even more than that. He holds that because of Kavada Bracha, you could be Mevarech on Pasachim, like we said, even if you're Makbid, like the Aguda. The Bir Halacha says that we don't Paskin that way. We're not Machmir. But at least the Mechaber says, ideally, you should remove it from the table. Fine. Now, other Achronim, as I said, disagree with the Shulchan Aruch, and they treat it more like other Tchumim in Halacha, Paspalter, like the Shach. The Shach thinks that the Heter by Oreach is only Alts Eva. It's not the Pashtus, but that's the way he learns the Heter of Horeach. It's not because, like we were saying, Altsach Nasas Orchem. Fine. Okay. So now let's turn to Sivav. And this is a sugya that we've all been waiting for, the sugya of Pasabal B'Kisnin. So we've discussed many issues of Pasabal B'Kisnin already, and especially we spent a lot of time figuring out the Shita of the Mechaber. And we had... We saw that there were three mahalchim in the Mechaber. We had one mahalich that we thought was the Iker. We talked about the Tain of the Ramah. There are two ways of understanding the Rambam. And we'll return to that a little bit, but we don't have to rehash all that stuff. There's much new stuff to see. Let's start with the interesting question of that the Magen Avraham begins with. Very, very, very important question. What's the din if we know the halacha is that when it comes to Pasabal B'Kisnin, so if you eat the amount of kvios se'uda, so then you have to make hamotzi and berkas hamazon, and if you eat less than that amount, so then you make a mezonos and ala mechia. Now what about if you eat enough bread that... Sorry, if you eat enough Pasabal B'Kisnin on its own, it wouldn't be enough to fill you up. But combined with all the other things, it is, right? L'mashal, in the Keren B'Yavne, a very popular dinner was berekas. Let's assume for a moment, we'll talk about whether this is correct or not later, but let's assume for a moment that berekas are Pasabal B'Kisnin. So what do I eat for supper? I eat two berekas, three berekas, and then I don't know, what else did they have? They had cottage cheese and cucumbers and tomatoes and gvina levana, some pieces of cheese. And between all those other things, so that was my meal. That was supper. So two berekas, that, if you had two berekas on your own, that's snack, right? That's definitely not enough for a meal. Not giant berekas, you know, medium-sized berekas. That is the size of a snack. It's not the size of a meal. But I had with it my cheese and my cucumbers, my tomatoes. So now I had a whole meal. Do I make a hamotzi on the berekas because it's part of a meal? Or do I make a mezonos on the berekas because I didn't eat enough berekas to fill me up? So... From the tour, sounds a little bit like you don't bench. You would make a mezonos. The question of the tour was, "Vim achal mimenu shiur she'achirim regilim lekvawa alav seuda, af al pi shehulo sava mimenu mevarech alav hamotzi v'shalosh brachos." So, if you ate the amount that other people eat. Now, what's the lashon? Acherim regilin lekvawa alav acha. Sorry, im acha mimenu. If you eat from the pas habab b'kisnin, the amount that other people would make a meal out of, then it's hamotzi. But if you didn't eat, doesn't say im acha shir shacherim regilin lekvawa suda alav, then you mevarich alav hamotzi. It says im acha mimenu. If you ate from the Pasabal B'Kisnin. So in that case, you would make a mezonos by the bereka. And it could be that you could be medayit that the Rama also holds this way. Why? Because if you remember, the Rama asked on the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef said that you make a mizonos on lechem hamitubalim harbe, right? The example we gave was, our sweet challahs. Sweet challahs. So the Beis Yosef says, first he thinks not this way, but then he changed his mind. Again, whether the Beis Yosef would apply this to challah or not, we said was a debate last time. But let's assume, at least the Beis Yosef in his days, right? The Beis Yosef said that you would make a mizonos on challah unless it's a meal, because it's very sweet. Sweet challah is very sweet. And therefore, you make a mizonos. That's the way he learned the Rambam Lamaskana. So the Rambam says, no. But we do this on Shabbos and Yantif and at Chasanaz. So clearly, the minhag is not like the Beis Yosef. That's what the Rambam says. Now, I don't understand. The Beis Yosef would agree on Shabbos that you make a motzi, right? Because you're Kovei Asuda. So how is the fact that on Shabbos and Yom Tov we make hamotzi on sweet challah a raya against the Beis Yosef? The Beis Yosef agrees if you're Kovei Asuda on sweet challah, you make hamotzi. So how did the Rama know that the minhag is against the Beis Yosef? So maybe you'll tell me it's a fancy shayla, because the Rama assumed that l'chadchila you're not supposed to make pasa baba kisnin for lecha mishnah. So it's true, the Beis Yosef would agree it's hamotzi, but then it would turn out that we're not doing the l'chadchila dekazach, right? That's why he had a kasha in the Rama. Hela the Yid from Krakow, Ada, the Jews are doing the thing that's shpitz, that's l'chadchila. So I don't know if that's a good shot, because he also brings a raya from the fact, from chasanas. Chasana, you can't be kovei asud on pasal l'kisnin, it has to be daf kulechem, mechtesi. You made hamotzi. According to Beis Yosef, would make hamotzi at a chasana, right? Even though they're serving sweet bread. So how does he have a raya against the Beis Yosef from the minhag that we had them at chasanas? And we make hamotzi at chasanas. The Beis Yosef would agree you make hamotzi at a chasana because you're Kovei Asuda. So Elamai, what do we have to say? We have to say no. Because it's true, the Rama writes, at the chasanas, we make hamotzi on these sweet challah rolls. But how many sweet challah rolls do we eat? We eat one roll. Right? And what else? And we also eat bread. I mean, we also eat the chicken and meat and kugel and potatoes, whatever you eat at a chasana. Right? Lots of good food. And therefore, the Rama is saying, if the Beis Yosef is right, you would make a mizonos. Why? Because you didn't eat enough challah roll to fill yourself up. The only reason why you're full after the chasana is because you also ate meat and chicken and potatoes and vegetables. So imkain, but the Rama says, the Beis Yosef is right. What's the bracha? Mizonos. But we make hamotzi at all chasanas. Must be that we don't hold like the Beis Yosef. So Yilchora, you see a little bit of a raya from the Rama that to make a hamotzi on Pasa Baba Kisnin, you need enough of the Pasa Baba Kisnin to be Kovei Asuda, not just enough of food total combined with the pasa baba kisnin. Now, it could be docha the raya, I don't know. Pashtus is it's somewhat of a raya. Nevertheless, the Magen Avraham over here Sif Katan Yud Gimel disagrees, and he writes nearly dimhu kava sudaso alav af alpi. She'achal bas imo basar v'dvar macherim v'ilu achal levado lo haya sava mimenu afilu achim v'varach hamotzi shalosh brachos. How does he know? He says, I'll bring you a raya from the Lashon of the Gemara. Kol she'acherim kovim alav. Where's the diuk? So the Levush Yisrad says the diuk must be that it's mashma ke'en shekovim suda al hapas. So what does that mean? It's not so much kol she'acherim kovim alav means to be kovei suda alav doesn't mean that's all you eat. Kovei suda alav means that might be the ikar of the meal, but it's not all you eat. And I think what basically is coming out from this Magen Avraham, what the Magen Avraham is clearly assuming, and that's why he thinks it's arrived in the Gemara, and that's why he thinks the din is mistaber, is that pasaba bekisnin, when it's coming as a replacement for bread, then it's hamotzi. And when it's not coming as a replacement for bread, so then it's mizonos. Now, replacement for bread, well, even in bread meals, you don't eat only bread. You eat lots of other stuff. And therefore, you don't need, says the Magen Avraham, to, if you're filled up because you ate pasaba bekisnin plus the meat or the chicken or the fish, so just then you make a hamotzi because you're kovei on pasaba bekisnin. You're basically replacing your bread with pasaba bekisnin. And when pasaba bekisnin replaces bread, that's when we say the bracha is hamotzi. That's really what's behind this Magen Avraham. And one way to look at it, this may not be the only way to look at it, but one way to look at it is as follows. Pasaba bekisnin has a dual identity. We discussed, actually, the first time around, and we'll talk a little bit more about it now, that really there's three ways to look at how to understand the nature of pasaba bekisnin. Option A is that pasaba bekisnin is really bread, but bread that is not the derech lekvo alav, you make a mizonos when you're not kovei alav. Option B is pasaba bekisnin is really non-bread. It's really peiros. It's really like daisa. But when you're kovei alav, then we treat it like bread. Now, it has to be bread at that point. You are saying hamotzi lechem min haaretz. But unlike the first pshat that says it's bread, but sometimes you don't make hamotzi on bread. Because even when you're making mizonos, it's bread. They weren't misakin to make hamotzi on bread, she'en haderech lekvo'alav. The other extreme is to say, no, be'etzim, it's not bread. But when you treat it like bread, then it's like bread. And the middle option is that it has a dual identity right in between. It's equally bread and equally non-bread. So you determine when you eat it like bread, then it's bread. When you eat it like non-bread, it's non-bread. And that might be what the Magen Avraham is assuming. We'll see, actually, the Magen Avraham goes a step further than this a little bit later, but we'll start off like this, that the Magen Avraham says it has this dual identity. And so what? So let's look at the Rishonim. And we saw that at least some Rishonim seem to learn this way. Consider, for example, the Ritva Mem Aleph on the base. He writes, Nimtzeis pas zu, pa'amim toras pas aleha, legamrei, upa'amim toras peros, lomar she'ena nifteres, Birkas hapas. Sometimes this is Taras Pas, sometimes this is Taras Peros. Dual identity. The Rashba also. The Rashba and the Ritva basically both hold that there's no such thing as one food with two brachos. That's why they don't like the opinions that say that when you have less than a kazayis, you make a different bracha. No. According to the Rashba, Amit Ches, Amit Beis, no such thing as a single food with two brachos. So what's the pshat in pasaba bekisnin? Pasaba bekisnin is two foods. He says the pasaba bekisnin lo mevarchin alei motzi afil achilas kizayis haynu mishom the chashvin alei kemishtana mimino. This is much more extreme, much more explicit than even the Ritva. Ritva was a little less clear because he says pasazu pamin toras pas pam toras peros. There you could say, well, it's always pas. It's just pas betoras peros. But here he says, Mamish, it is a dual identity, dual citizenship, right? Chashvin amlei kemishtana mimino. It's 2 minutes. So if you learn like that, it's very easy to understand why you would learn like the Magen Avraham. The pshat is that when you treat this as bread, then it's hamotzi. When you treat it as peros, then it's not hamotzi. And right, that's what, again, Lashon of the Ritva, right? Sometimes Taras Pas Aleha, and sometimes Taurus Peros, you choose. So now, it doesn't mean, so therefore, if you look at it that way, so then the Magen Avraham's Chiddush is so intuitive. Because again, what is the Magen Avraham telling you? The Magen Avraham is saying that if you treat it like bread, then it's hamotzi. Well, treating it like bread doesn't mean that's the only thing you eat in the meal. Most people, maybe poor people, all they eat is bread. But most people, even though clearly in the olden days, a bread was much more of the focus of a meal, but it wasn't all that they ate. So therefore, anytime it's replacing bread, so then it's hamotzi, then it is toiras pas, right? You've defined it as pas, you've made it into pas, now it's pas. Oh, and so if it's pas, then it's hamotzi. So again, looking at it that way, the Chiddush of the Magen Avraham makes a lot of sense. So going back to my analogy of the berakas. So, you know, what would I have if I didn't have berakas? I would have the same meal, but without berakas. So what would I have? I'd have two slices of bread, right? I'd have two slices of bread and cheese and cucumbers and tomatoes. That would be my KBY supper. So instead of two slices of bread, I had two berakas. They're about the same size, right? And so what did I do? I sort of swapped out the bread for a bereka. So therefore, I'm treating it like pas. So the halacha is that it is pas. Treat it like pas, and it is pas. That's what the Magen Avraham is saying. Does everybody agree to this? Or to put it differently, it's diukim uchrachim. Take a look at the Birka Yosef over here. Sif katan vav, he writes, Tam'ayin yiraya shein raya usav muchrachos. It's not a machrach raya from the Gemara, like we said. The reason why the Magen Avraham thought it was a machrach raya is because he came into it with this havana, the sugya, that pasabah b'kismin, you determine whether it's pas or not. So memela, the lashon of kovin alav, achem kovin alav suda, is a gevaldik raya. But if you don't look at the din like that, right? So then the diak isn't such a good diak. The Birka Yosef concludes, L'maisa tzarchin, he's not machri against the Magen Avraham either, but he does think that his rayas are questionable. As we saw before, maybe the Torah doesn't learn that way, maybe the Ramah doesn't learn that way. And he adds, he says, actually, some people have a different kasha on him, but he doesn't think that's a kasha. Shamati shikshu alav dekan malan deshnei dvarim delo shavu b'shiurehen ein mitzarfim. So some people ask the following shaila in the Magen Avraham. They say, look, we have a principle that two types of things aren't mitzdari for shear. So why should the bread and the meat be mitzdari for a shear? So the chida says about that question, amnam liya hedyot imeha lo iria b'chiluk mivur. The difference between that and this is obvious. So obviously he doesn't bother telling you, but it could be that the chiluk is that here we're not talking about a shear, we're talking about kvios. When it comes to a shear, something there's a din in the shear, then there's no tziruf, right? Ochlin and mashkin aren't mitzdari for a shear of bracha achrona or the like, because that's a din that's totally in a shear. You have to eat a kazayas. So there can't be mitzdari of two types of things towards a shear or even if they're both solids, but you can't, you know, for alamichya, those types of things. But here, it's really totally in the derech achila. It's not a shear. Achem shekoven alav. We call it a shear, but it's not like a shear, exayas, a kibetza, alav lo shmesinai dik a shear. And therefore, that's not a very strong question. Now, let's assume we pass on like this Magen Avraham. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it as well. So now we have a different shiloh. So what about the following shiloh? Somebody, back in the olden days, they used to have this thing after davening called a kiddush. And sometimes they would have a big fancy kiddush. And so somebody might go to the kiddush. They'll hear kiddush. They'll have a couple of ragalach. I know, after all, you have to have mezonos, kaveh suda. Fine. And then they'll have chalent. Then they'll have some potato kogel. Then they'll have some lo mein and broccoli salad and the like. They fill up their plate. And lo and behold, they ate mamish amount of a whole meal. So do they make hamotzi? It's too late already. They ate the regular thing. Maybe they should bench. What's the halacha? Says Rav Moshe, they should bench. Rav Moshe, chelik aleph of Aruch Chaim Siman Nun Vav, and chelik dalet Siman Mem Aleph. Rav Moshe actually talking about a different shaila, but more or less the same idea. Somebody comes to chasana and they don't want to stay. So they don't want to wash till the end. So they don't want to wash because then they're not allowed to leave early because they'd have to wait for the benching. So they have a chup. What are they going to do? Tell you what they're going to do. They are going to not wash. They'll have a couple of pieces of cake and then they'll have the chicken and the kugel and the string beans. Says Rav Moshe, no chance. You have to wash anyway. You have to wash anyway, like the Magen Avraham says, right? Maishna, you, right, just like I told you, if you replace your bread with berekas, you have to make hamotzi on the bread, berekas, even though they're possible to kiss in. So if you replace your bread with cake, who I did? That's Rav Moshe Shiri's theory. That's what he says. And then he says even further. So how much is it? How much bread does it need to be, right? We said that the yisod of the Magen Avraham is anytime you replace the bread with pasa baba kisnin, you have to make a motzi. So what will that depend on? It depends on how much bread you typically eat at a meal. How much bread does a person eat at a meal? So Moshe says, well, in the olden days, it was a lot, Taka. People didn't have as much money. Food was more expensive. So when you had a meal with bread and chicken, so you'd eat, your ratio of bread to chicken, bread to other stuff, was much higher. But nowadays, what people eat very little bread. Even when they wash, they eat very little bread. Most of their nourishment, most of their filling is the chicken and the kugel and the everything else. So how much bread you would need, how much pasa baba kisnin you would need to eat to make hamotzi is much less. It's much reduced. So even having, we gave the example before the Kiddush, he had two ragalach. Okay, two ragalach. It's not very much. But two ragalach, that's probably about the size of how much bread a person eats at a typical Shabbos meal, right? Most people have one piece of challah, two pieces of challah. Okay, three ragalach maybe, right? It's not much. The vast majority of their nourishment is coming from all the other food. So that being the case, so you don't need a lot of pasa b'kisnin to make hamotzi. Ad kan Rav Moshe. That's what he says. Now, I have a kasha, Rav Moshe. The Gemara tells us, and we paskin this in Shulchan Aruch, this comes up, Sifches, that let's say you have pasa b'kisnin for dessert. Kinuach. So it's shalom achmas hasuda. Ton brach lefan havein ton brach lacharav. Why? It's part of a meal. It should be hamotzi and therefore covered by the hamotzi. If you're going to make a bracha, you'd have to make hamotzi. Right? You hear my kasha. In other words, the Dogamir Vava says that if it's suffik pasa baba kisnin, then for sure you can't make a mizonos for dessert because maybe the correct route, maybe it's actually pas gamor. Fine. But leave that case aside. I want to talk about vade pasa baba kisnin, right? Vade pasa baba kisnin, the Shulchan Aruch says, when you have it for dessert, you make a mizonos. But according to Rav Moshe, the proper bracha is hamotzi. So I think you have to say that according to Rav Moshe, that no. The point is, even Rav Moshe has to say it's replacing bread. It might be less than in a time of Chazal, but it still has to be replacement of bread. It has to act in place of bread. And since it has to act, well, this dessert that you're having, when you have pasul abukisin for dessert, that's not acting in a in replacement of bread, right? That's shalom achmas asuda. So if it's shalom achmas asuda, but it's not replacing bread, even though it's part of a meal, Rav Moshe would agree the brachas mezonos. Rav Moshe is talking about a case where you're replacing your bread with cake. Why? Because you don't want to wash. Because you don't want to have to bench. So you just replaced your bread with cake. Oh. Even Rav Moshe would agree. But I think he would say, he would still tell you that at the case that Shiloh, we said about the Kiddush, there, you know, where you have two raglach at the beginning, yesh ladun, it's a pshat that you're having dessert at the beginning of the meal and it's shalom achmas asuda. No. In that case, you're really just replacing, you're having the same Shabbos meal as you always have, except you, instead of having challah, you're having cake at the beginning of the meal. So therefore, Rav Moshe would say, in that case, you should make hamotzi on those raglach. However, not everybody agrees. Not everybody agrees. And as we said, Rav Moshe has to draw a fine line because he has to, it still has to be a bread replacement. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, it's quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Perak Nun Dalet, Ha'ara Kuf Lamed Beis, says, even according to Magen Avram, it's only when there's a natural tziruf between the basar and the pasul abukisin. In other words, according to Magen Avram, my example of the berakas, right? Then, for sure, it would be a hamotzi on those berakas, even if you think normally berakas are pasul abukisin. Why? Because there's a tziruf between the salad and the cheese and the berakas. Like I said, the berakas are just replacing bread. It would be the same meal. It's just I swapped out the bread for the berakas. But not true when it comes to cake. When it comes to cake, there's no tziruf. There's no connection between the cake and the meat. So it doesn't matter whether I had the cake at the beginning of the meal or I had the cake at the end of the meal. If I'm eating the cake as cake, not as a bread replacement, then even the Magen Avraham would agree that the bracha is still mezonos. There's no tziruf. The Magen Avraham is saying, and this is a much easier position to understand. Now, you don't have to draw that fine line that Rav Moshe said, right? Now, it's obvious why pasul abukisin for dessert is mezonos, right? Because there's no shaychus between the dessert and the meat. Shalom achmas asuda, after all. So Shlomo Zalman says that that in this case, what would the proper thing be in the case of the fresher at the Kiddush, right? Who has his two ragalach, and then he moves on to chalant, and then he moves on to kugel, and then he moves on to broccoli salad. Shlomo Zalman would say, that's still in the zonos. Still in the zonos, I think. The Mishnah Berurah also somewhat sounds that way. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Chaf Dalid, he writes, Kasva Achronim, Dim achlo levado tsar shiyocha shir shachir megilin lesvam yimenu levado. Vim achlo im basar o dvarim acherim shemelavtim bo hapas. Sagi kesha ocha shir shachirim megilin lesvam yimenu kesha ochlim gamkin dvarim acherim. So it says you ate it with things shemelavtim bo hapas. Right? That doesn't sound like Rav Moshe. Now, again, it's not refush against Rav Moshe because it's not refush against Rav Moshe at all because it's true that Rav Moshe's case in the Kiddush, you're eating it with things that acherim, dvarim acherim shemalaftim ba'asapas. But it still has to be a tziruf. In other words, that's why he says, o dvarim shemalaftim ba'asapas. In other words, instead of being malafis is apas, they're now being malafis is apas labakisnin. Right? So, fine. Now then, the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah add another kenach. So again, let's say what comes out. Let's say if I eat two berakas plain, again, and I'm assuming berakas are pasul abukisin, towards the end of the simon, we'll talk about whether or not they are. Okay? It's not pashut that they are. you know, probably it's going to depend on whether berakas are meal foods or snack foods. Not so sure what they are. But let's assume that berakas are pasa babakisner. So you have two berakas plain, then it's a mizonos, right? Because that's not enough to, that's not a meal. If you have two berakas along with your cheese and your salad and everything else, then hamotzi, right? What about if I have two berakas and that fills me up? I'm full with two berakas. Most people wouldn't be. Most people, if they were eating only berakas, they would probably want to eat four or five berakas before they were full. But I have a small appetite, and two berakas fills me up. So what do we do? So I would think, oh, so it's pashut that you make a mizonos. Why? It's true, the Ravid would tell you make hamotzi. Maybe the Rashba, we pass him like the Rambam, we pass him like the Rush, as we discussed, that we say, just like if I eat more than everybody else, I eat a large amount, but it's a snack for me, since everybody else treats that as a suda, I have to make hamotzi. So the other way also, if for me this is a suda, everybody else it's a snack, I make a mizonos, right? The Beis Yosef paskened against the Ravid. So over here, what would the halacha be? I ate two berakas, I'm full. What's the halacha? Mizonos, I would think. But the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah say no, hamotzi. Why? It's like a sveik sveika. What's the sveik sveika? Maybe I'm chayev berakas hamazon and two berakas, even if I'm not full. Why? Because it's the derech to be koveya on two berakas. And even if we say no, you don't make berakas hamazon ki agavna, but if you're full, then maybe you should, because maybe we paskin like the Ravid. Maybe passing like the Ravid. So this could come up. Somebody's full with two berakas, somebody's full with a big muffin, something like that. Well, we're going to get back to this type of sveik sveika, because it comes up many times in this siman. And especially when you start throwing in the possibility of safek deraisa l'chumra, because it's a safek pas gamur. Okay, so I guess we'll stop here. Next time, we're going to work on the Magen Avraham. I have to tell you, in this siman are killers. And the only way you're going to get them is if you go through them slowly and carefully and work on them, which is pretty time consuming sometimes. But that's the avoda of this siman. I'm going to work on Magen Avraham Yudalid, which is a very important one, very hard. We'll work on Magen Avraham. Which one is it? The one, I think, Tesvav. I forgot which one it is. We'll see in a second. But there's a bunch of hard Magen Avrahams that we're going to need to work on. And of course, next time we're going to talk about the famous Maimon Mordechai. And if you want to take a look at the Am Mordechai, in terms of the question of figuring out things like what's considered pasa baba kisna. Now, here, I'll give you a bunch of common foods, and I want you to work on figuring out whether they're pasa baba kisna, and then we'll have a chance to talk about all of them. B'li neder. Deli roll, pancakes, waffles, pizza, mizonos rolls. What other good shilas are there that we need to discuss?
Rugalach.
Okay. Costco muffins. Oh, this is a good one. Somebody asked me about croissants. Okay, good. So you have your homework. I have a question for you, Chevra. Could we have shiur on Sunday later, either at night or at 4:30? Or even
I'm good with 8 o'clock. I'm happy with 8 o'clock if the fever is.
I could potentially be okay with 8 o'clock. I'd prefer during the day.
The change jump.
7:45 plausible for everyone, or is that too early?
What?
7.